God's word for today is Acts chapter 14, verse 19 through 22. I'll read. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. They said, Amen. A children's song which all Koreans like to sing is Spring Back Home, and originally a poem by Lee Won-soo and melody composed by Hong Nam-pa. The lyric of the song goes like this. My home was at a flowering mountain village, peach flowers, apricot flowers, baby azaleas, a village made of a palace of colorful flowers. I missed a time when I used to play there, a village of flowers, a village of birds, a village where when the wind blew from the south through the green fields, willows danced by the river. I missed a time when I used to play there. Among Korean people, probably not even 10% of them were born in a mountain village. Most people don't even know what peach flowers or apricot flowers look like. It's also not the case, though all of us are from flowering villages where willow danced by a river or a village of birds. Further, when Lee Won-soo wrote this children's poem called Spring Back Home, it was before the time he became famous as a writer. The poem Spring Back Home was written when he was only 16, a sixth grader of an elementary school. His poem was selected to be printed in children's magazine published by Bang Jung-hwan and Hong Nam-pa, who read the poem, composed music for it, and it became a song that we know. Therefore, this poem, which was written when Lee Won-soo was a sixth grader, is not one of the best poems to be written in the history of Korean poetics. It's also not the case that the melody composed by Hong Nam-pa for the song is one of the best among his other countless works. But the reason that Spring Back Home became a national song beloved by everyone, regardless of gender, age, wealth or status, going beyond its genre as a children's song, is because the song is about hometown, which evokes eternal nostalgia in men. The following is a poem, Song for Home Village, by the poet Kim Jae-ho. I open my window, white early frost, descend on winter yard, bereaved of chrysanthemum and wild geese with the bluish wings fly the northern sky. Oh, now stand in the quiet empty field, flower lamps will burn in the snow of rose to my home village. Flower lamps will burn in the snow of rose to my home village. The moon passes and the sun passes, the stars are far away, but deep in the mountain valley, at the village of thatched cottages, there will be cheers of flower banquets on each branch when the spring comes. Oh, now gather your hands and close your eyes. Heavy snow falling on fans of bush clover. Heavy snow falling on fans of bush clover. If home was at a mountain valley, deep in a ravine, And if it were a thatched cottage which only had a fence of bush clover, then how poor, difficult, and inconvenient the life there must have been. But even when one leaves the home village and leaves everywhere, when one stands at an empty field, one recalls the cottage deep in the mountains, the image of the oil lamp that gave light in a deep, deep winter night, now becomes a beautiful flower lamp that warmly brightens the heart that has become tired from living far away from home. When the hands are gathered together and eyes are closed, the image of home, where heavy snow used to fall on the snow of bush clover, where everything was cozy and comforting. It's a beautiful poem that reminds us that we do not leave behind our hometown when we leave it, but that it comes alive in our hearts all the more vividly as the times go by. I left my hometown Busan when I was 16, and I've been living in Seoul for the 46th year. The period I lived in Seoul is no less than 3 times longer than the 15 years in which I lived in my hometown. Then, if one were to consider strictly the time lived at a place, then it would be clear that I am someone from Seoul, but I have never thought of myself as from Seoul. It's because the place of my hometown where I was born is not Seoul. Among my relatives, hardly anyone lives at Busan. If I go to hometown, there are people who greet me, which is not the case. But the more I think about my hometown, the house and where I was born, its yard, and the alleyways where I used to play come live more vividly as the days go by. And each time I think about my hometown, my heart becomes warm. And each time when I have an occasion to visit my hometown, I can't help but look forward to it with anticipation even before I leave. A hometown, regardless of whether it is a village deep in the mountains or is in the middle of a city, it's a place to start of one's existence for all men. It's a place of the naive self which did not yet know the calculation of selfish interests, the place of pure dreams before one became soiled by the world, and the place of the touches by one's mother's hand which console the cries of the hearts deep inside, which did not dare to come out. Therefore, even though the hometown may physically change, the hometown of our early years takes roots in our hearts as eternal longing. And each time we think of our hometown, we are comforted and gain new strength from it. Here is the reason why so many people make all efforts to try to go home during the holidays. Then we must ask, wouldn't Paul, who was a human being just like us, and who was a Jewish person who considered family important, have had the same feelings about his hometown as us? People of Lystra admired Paul so much that they believed Paul, who made the crippled man from his birth to walk, a god in the Greek myth. However, the Jews went to Lystra from Pisidian Antioch and Iconium and incited people of Lystra to stone Paul, intended to kill him. When Paul did not move, people who stoned him dragged him and abandoned him outside of the city. However, Paul did not die. Paul arose from death when everybody thought he was dead. With hurts and bloodied body, Paul went back to the city of Lystra, where he was being stoned, and preached gospel. He preached that although his body fell down with the showering stones, the life of Jesus who works inside his body would never end. He preached that no matter how they try to oppress, the truth of Jesus Christ would not be trampled. He preached that the crippled men could stand up and walk not by chance, but by the strength of God. Paul preached the gospel to people Lystra with his wounded and bloodied body. Now, let us look at what happened after that. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in the city and won a large number of disciples. That night, Paul probably would have received some emergency treatment from the Christians living in Lystra. The next day, Paul and Barnabas went to Derbe, 140 kilometers east from Lystra. It took 5 days on foot. For wounded and bloody Paul, 140 kilometers were never close. But as soon as Paul arrived, he started preaching the gospel. And many people in Lystra welcomed the gospel and became Christian. Fortunately, the Jews who went to Lystra from Pisidian Antioch and Iconium did not come to Derbe. Going over the Tarsus from Pisidian Antioch to Iconium and Lystra and to Derbe, Paul was able to preach the gospel only in Derbe without interruption of Jewish people. What is important is that from Derbe, that was Tarsus, was located about 200 kilometers east. Apostle Paul first started his journey to preach from Antioch in Syria. Before reaching Derbe, Paul's journey can be explained by thinking of a clock. Antioch in Syria, the starting point. Is in the 3 o'clock direction. Cyprus that Paul first visited is positioned in the 6 o'clock. Perga in Pamphylia, where Paul went by boat, is in the 5 o'clock direction. Derbe, where he arrived after going over the Tarsus and through Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, is in the 12. And Tarso, located east from Derbe, is in the 2 o'clock. Therefore, in order to go to Antioch in Syria, in the 3 from Derbe, in the 12, it was easier to Tarso in the 2 o'clock direction first, and he did not have to go further back to the 11 or 10. Furthermore, in Tarso, the 2 o'clock direction, he could ride a boat bound for Antioch in Syria, so that he had to go over the Tarsus could not be a problem to reach Tarso from Derb. Since the shape of the Tarsus was bent like a bow along the Mediterranean, even if one goes back, he must go over the Tarsus. Another reason that Paul had to go to Tarso was that every city and town he might have to pass, they were always full of Jewish people. From the places to places that disciple Apostle Paul visited, not to mention the distance of safety, he had an absolute reason go forward to Tarso without going back. I tell you again, Paul had an absolute reason go forward to Tarso without going back. It is because Tarso was Paul's hometown. Paul left his hometown, Tarso, and went to Antioch in Syria with the invitation from Barnabas, who was a pastor at a church in Antioch in Syria. After 1 year since he started preaching at a church in Syrian Antioch, Paul started a journey to spread the gospel with Barnabas, following the command of the Holy Spirit. The point when Paul arrived at Derb was when 1 year had passed since he started the journey. That is, it has been 2 years since he left his hometown, Tarso. If it had been an ordinary day, he could have not missed his hometown. But Paul got an endemic disease in Perga. But he did not give up his journey. Instead, he went over Tarsus with his ailing body. Wherever he went, he was persecuted by the Jews in every way. In Lystra, he was stoned to a degree that people thought he was dead. With blooded and wounded body, he went to Derb, 140 kilometers away from Lystra, and did not rest and just started preaching the gospel. Given this, he might never have felt exhausted. As Paul was so tired, he should have gone to his hometown without thinking twice to see his family and to be taken care of. This is human instinct. Moreover, the route was definitely the shortest way to get to Antioch in Syria. But even when he arrived at the road leading to his hometown, he did not visit his home. Let's look at verse 21. They preached the good news in the city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Paul reversed, traveled away. He had come and returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian, Antioch. From the noon position on the clock, he did not go forward to move to the 3 o'clock position, but he went back to the 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock in reverse, so to speak. The reason that Paul such course was not because he made a mistake or he was an idiot. The reason why he chose the route was to meet Christians and encourage their faith, because there were the people who had accepted the gospel from Paul. Let's look at the verse 22nd. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. The Greek verb epistherizo means to make stronger, to build up. The Christian of Pisidian Antioch saw Paul being expelled due to persecutions by the high-standing women and the leading men of the city who were incited by Jewish leaders. They were the Christian of Iconium who saw with their own eyes Jewish people trying to stone him to death. They also saw the Christians of Lystra, Paul being dragged away, nearly dead, from stoning he received. Under such circumstances, even if they are Christian who accepted the gospel, wouldn't they have been fearful about living as Christian? But Paul, who had gone away without any assurance of them meeting again, appeared again before their eyes. He came back to them, not because where there was a safe heaven, a paradise on earth. He came back despite the fact that the place was full of people who tried to kill him for the soul's sake of the Lord. And for them, risking his life. If so, when those Christians saw Paul coming back, wouldn't their hearts, which had been wavering, be built anew upon seeing him? Wouldn't their hearts toward the Lord be made more strong? And so, to these people, Paul encouraged them to remain true to the faith. Paul did not say, come and taste the faith, or to experience the faith. He told them to remain in the faith. To remain means to continually abide. Not a one-time action, but an action that requires continuity. In short, by saying remain in the faith, he had emphasized the continuity of faith. the continuity of faith. But Paul did not simply say to remain in the faith, but using the article the, said remain true to the faith. What is this particular faith? Let us take a look again at the first part of verse 22nd. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. The faith that Paul emphasized is the faith that strengthens the hearts, the faith that rebuilds the hearts, and the faith that makes the hearts stronger. To believe in God means to offer one's heart to God. The Lord said to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. At a first glance, it seems more appropriate to mention the soul first, because there is nothing more important than a soul. In other words, life for men. But the Lord mentioned heart before the soul. He emphasized hearts first. What would be the reason for that? It's because only those who offer their hearts to God who can also offer their lives for Him. It is not the soul which leads the heart, it is the heart that leads the soul. Therefore, true faith is making one's heart steadfast daily before God, rebuilding one's heart daily with the words of God, and making one's heart stronger, empowered by God's words. Remain in the true faith. This means truly a confession of Paul's own faith. Paul, who denied Jesus Christ, trampled on the church and made it his job to go after Christians, to arrest and imprison them, met Christ on his way to Damascus. After he received the grace of salvation of our Lord, his heart towards the Lord never wavered. His heart towards the Lord was daily rebuilt, became steadfast each day, and became stronger as the days went by. This was so because he was able to experience and confirm each day that the more he gave his heart to the Lord, the life and love in the Lord worked all the more greatly through him. And so Paul confessed as follows. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul lived with the mind of Christ. He had entirely given his heart to the Lord. Now, who is the Lord? Isn't he the one who died as an offering on the cross to pay for men's sins, and on the third day rose again from the dead? If Paul had invited him as his master and lived with his heart, what could have possibly shaken Paul's heart? Therefore, he was able to cross over the Taurus mountain, risking his life, and go to Pisidian Antioch. devoid of gospel. Even after he became sick with endemic disease, he was able to return to the city of Lystra. As soon as he came to, even after, he was stoned to death to show to the people of Lystra that it was okay. He was able to return to Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian, Antioch, full of Jewish people who wanted to kill him. Instead of heading home, which all men would have headed to instinctively in coming to Derbe, which was so near his home, to make steadfast, renew, and strengthen the Christians who accepted the gospel from him and encouraged them to stay true to the faith. He came back to Lystra to encourage the Christian to make steadfast, renew, and strengthen their hearts. In this way, if life of Paul, who offered his life for the Lord, became sublimated to a work of the Lord, which is more moving than any masterpiece, then the beginning point of that process was his heart. We said before that faith is not a mental activity, but a physical activity. But it was not the case that Paul's actions came first. If that were the case, the life of Paul, in which physical actions preceded his heart, would have been rebellious towards the Lord and far from being the work of the Lord, because Paul's heart, which had fixed itself on the Lord, had accompanied his physical actions. He is eternally alive in our hearts as the greatest apostle who we all admire and love. David, in Psalm chapter 57, verse 7, confess that, O God, my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. How important must have been that his heart was steadfast, that he repeatedly emphasized, my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. David, even though he was an unknown shepherd of Bethlehem, was able to praise God his whole life and became the work of God, which is more moving than any picture. It is because his heart had first been firmly established towards God. The Hebrew verb kun means to establish firmly. Faith is giving our hearts to the Lord. To love the Lord means to offer our hearts to him. It is only those who can offer their hearts to the Lord, who can offer their lives. It is just not the one-time thing. It is the action of continuity. Let us all make our hearts steadfast towards the Lord. Let us make our hearts firmer towards the Lord. Build up our hearts daily with the words of the Lord, and empowered by the Lord's words, let us make our stronger each day. Even though we are small, inside of us, the Lord, who is the master of our hearts, will sublimate our lives to His eternal works. Then our lives is going to create a new chapter of Acts. The Lord is with us, and we believe that it is possible. Let us pray. For David's heart was steadfast and steadfast towards God time and again. David, who was an unknown shepherd of Bethlehem, became the eternal star of Israel, who praised God his whole life with the way he lived. For Paul invited the Lord as the master of his heart and lived with the Lord's heart. Paul, who was once was a violent man, became the eternal apostle who renewed the history of humanity. Therefore, through Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he advises us not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what's God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Dear Lord, we ask that you will pour new spirits in our hearts. Allow our hearts to become steadfast again and again. Allow our hearts to become more firm each day in you. Our minds to be built anew each day in your words. And allow our minds to become stronger, empowered by your words. With such hearts, help us to distinguish your good, pleasing, and perfect will so that we will live like Paul, who did not seek out his hometown for his comfort, but turned to the place where he was persecuted, chased away, and stoned for the sake only of the Lord. For the sake of brothers and sisters in faith. Thereby, we ask that you will allow our lives overflowing with the Lord's life and love may become yet another book of acts that saves other people. Please help us save other souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.